Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mufti Hassan Ali Suleiman, hope you're well this morning in Pakistan.
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah, things are fine over here in Karachi. What about South Africa?
Alhamdulillah, it's all going well so far. I want to ask you quickly just about what's happening between Pakistan and Afghanistan. What's the whole thing there?
Well, it hasn't changed. We're still waiting for more information. There was a bombing, it's confirmed there was a bombing in Kabul. But no one knows how it really happened or who actually did it. The Taliban are choosing Pakistan. Pakistan doesn't deny it, but they don't say that they did it. So it's like that. There's been some shooting on both sides, and both sides have had people shaheed, which is not good. So there isn't too much talk about it because, I don't know, because of, I guess, the peace deal in Gaza, that's taking a lot of the news. That's all I can say about it. Not too much that we've learned since the original bombing, I think, was a couple of days ago, right? So.
Yes. So yesterday, what I did is in the first segment of our breakfast, because my program is 7 to 9, and then this last half an hour we have an interview. And the first segment what I focused on is yesterday's Knesset, and just to bring you in, what happened yesterday, Mufti Saab, was that 20, you know this year, 20 hostages was released, 2,000 of our Palestinian prisoners. I don't like to call them prisoners because they were put in prison, not because they did something wrong, but because the rogue regime felt that they did something wrong. So they were also freed, approximately 150 or more. They've been exiled. So of those prisoners, of the 2,000, they've been sent to other countries. So they won't be able to meet their families as such. If their families want to meet them, they'll have to go there to meet them, but they are not allowed in our particular country. So this all takes place, and this continues. At the Knesset yesterday, a lot of mockery was taking place, a lot of statements, and this, you know, Trump loves his praises, and it's something that he takes great pride in. So this year continues. He went to Egypt, Sharm el-Sheikh, and the same thing occurred there, where a lot of praises took place, but this time by so-called Muslim leaders. And here he presented a 20-point plan, which was documents had been signed. But the strange part is this, we spoke about this, highlighted it as well yesterday, that Abdul Fattah al-Sisi, he invited Netanyahu. He called him it was a triangular call, Trump and Abdul Fattah Sisi, and they called Netanyahu and they begged him to come. But of course, last minute, he decided not to come. Hamas was not involved. We know that to solve any situation, you need both sides there. How are you going to solve something otherwise? And of course, definitely, you cannot have someone leading this and overseeing it, the man who's focused his attention on one side, supplying arms fully, billions of dollars of weapons on one side. So all this took place. We're going to go through maybe various points from those 20-point plan, But already you can see how this whole thing is cooked up. I just played for the listeners as well. On the 10th of October, 2023. So 3 days after the 7th of October, the Imam of Masjid al-Aqsa, he gave that wonderful bayan. After that, they locked him up. In there, he mentioned about Sadat and how he, in October, and this was during the 1970s, when he turned over the plan of the Mujahideen of Egypt at that time, where they had a great cause, but he turned it in and he went against it. and sort of put it off. And exactly what you're seeing now is that exact effort to put it off, and exactly what's going to happen. Allah forbid, it never must happen, but we lose total control of our Masjid al-Aqsa.
Yeah, the original 20-point plan was at the end of September, huh? And now we're in the middle of October. I'm quite sure if we look at it, we'll see changes in the focus on what was originally proposed by Trump and what is now being talked about by Trump and Israel. In the beginning, it was... There was talk about going toward a two-state solution a little bit, and permanent ceasefire and release of prisoners and hostages or whatever you want to say. But there was also talk about reconstruction, okay, and government governance in the future of Gaza. When I look at the last couple of days with the release of the hostages, that seems like the be-all and end-all. And there's still possibility that the fighting can continue. So I don't think it really is a real peace plan, right? A real lasting peace. It's just a stoppage in the fighting until we see what's going on. There was talking about de-radicalization. I don't hear any talk about that anymore. There was talk about Hamas putting in, turning in their guns and never governing. But they never picked anybody within Gaza, as you mentioned. There's no one, they're not picking people from Gaza that will be the future leaders of Gaza. There's a lot of happiness and everything. People will see that the food is starting to come back in, and a lot of the bombing has stopped. Much of the killing has stopped. But is this really a peace? And this is part of the 20 points. Trump and Benjamin, they're both talking about the Abraham Accords. The Abrahamic Accords, going forward with that. And I don't know how our Muslim leaders can go forward after watching what they did for 2 years, bombing our country. And we didn't even fight back. And now they're talking about having peace with Israel.
Mm.
So,
yes, this mission of theirs is called the Board of Peace. Trump has said it in many of his talks and has signal towards this Board of Peace. And strangely so, when he was speaking at the Knesset in the rogue regime, he said, these people want me. They want me to oversee this. And he said he feels shocked because he is so busy with so many things and they want, like, you know, it wasn't from his side. So when you saw the meeting in Sharm el-Sheikh, the setup of the tables, even before they reached there, you could see the American flag is there in the middle. Trump is the one who is going to be the main speaker, the main person that everyone sits around. So I call these people the Ibadu Trump, the slaves of Trump. They have left becoming the slaves of Allah and they've become now the slaves of Trump. In this particular plan, so they were speaking of Yasir Qadhi's ustad and teacher, that is Tony Blair. But they said now he's out of the question. Nobody wants him. But strangely so, people want Trump. I mean, how does Trump become any better than this Tony Blair? But anyway.
Which people are asking for Trump?
Basically, all those who were there in the meeting yesterday in Egypt, in Sharm el-Sheikh, that would mean your Abdel Fattah Sisi, that would mean your leader, and that is President Erdogan, Tayyip Erdogan, as well as other leaders over there, the UAE's leader, Bahrain. I haven't read about Macron. These are all your people there. There was over 20 of them there. So these people, they are pushing for it, and they wanted the Board of Peace under this name.
Was that part of the original 20-point plan? Board of Peace? That was part of the original 20-point plan back in September?
I'm not too sure about this. I didn't see that back then. But
that's interesting.
If we go through these points, you'll see stabilization, international security force. So to ensure a safe transition, a ISF, not IDF, ISF, international stabilization force, will be deployed immediately in Gaza. The ISF will oversee security during the transfer of territory from the IDF to civilian control and support vetted Palestinian police forces. Now, this Palestinian police forces, I've read this in one of the other points, but I will share it with you here. Trump wants Jordan and one of the other surrounding countries to make sure that Palestine has their own police force. What's the purpose of this? So there's no... They must be the leading power that's run under their control, under Trump's control. He's the emir of this whole project, it seems. So these Palestinian security forces, police forces, whatever forces you want to call them, they're not going to serve the interests of the Muslimin, but in fact, they're going to serve the interest of Trump. And they're going to be trained by Jordan, and we've seen Jordan, they've turned away from Gaza, they've turned away from so many issues. So they're going to be trained by Jordan and one other country. So this all is going to come into place. That's just a slight point when we speak under the stabilization international security forces. The plan anticipates that the rogue regime will progressively withdraw while international troops maintain order and prevent the resurgence of militant activity. Mufti Saab, you can just comment on this point quickly.
Yeah, militant activity. What is the origin of the militant activity? The fact that a foreign country is occupying your country. Mm. So you're supposed to be like Gandhi and have a nonviolent protest against people who are occupying your country with guns and Apache helicopters. That's a joke. It's an insult to anybody that's reading that thing. Mm. This is something they complained about black people. For 400 years we suffered slavery and we suffered all this oppression. And when groups like the Black Panthers came out with guns to defend themselves, to be aggressive, they were called very bad people because they were using violence. But the violence only respects other violence until there can be a time you can sit down at a table and talk about it. Somebody with a gun fighting with someone without guns, one with a gun he's not going to listen to anything until there's a threat that he might be shot. Then there can be talk. So they're ignoring the original problem here. The original problem is, for so many years, Gaza's been occupied by a foreign country. So there's no sense in trying to brainwash the people to become more passive and more sheep-like and try to, brainwash them that they don't fight back, okay? They don't have any weapons, and now you want to even tie their hands behind their back and don't even fight back. When they used to bomb them, and they would send the tanks into Gaza. The Israeli tanks would come in, and during the original Intifada, I remember seeing Palestinian youth, in jeans and what have you, throwing rocks at the tanks. Okay, so when Israel saw that, and a couple of tanks got blown up by a rock, by someone saying Allahu Akbar and throwing the rock in the tank, actually blew up. So what did the Israeli do? They came with caterpillar tractors, okay, and took the rocks away. They didn't have guns, they only had rocks, and even the rocks were taken away by Israel. Okay, and you want to say de-radicalize these type of people? Get out of my country. Leave me alone.
Exactly.
I cannot take water from the beach. I can't fish. Okay, my air is controlled. Everything is controlled by a foreign country that is against United Nations directives. So, but what we're talking about, you know, the person being the victim is being arrested, and not the criminal, not the perpetrator.
Yes, and so, if you just the whole Knesset yesterday was all about this. It was just to, that's what I said to the listeners earlier, that if you ever had to imagine Abu Jahl and his men having a meeting, or if you want to call it Fir'aun and his men having a meeting, then you would have to listen in on the Knesset yesterday. All cooked up and claiming power. I mean, the one point Trump made yesterday was he was praising one of his general commanders, and he said that, you know, I asked this question, Trump is saying, how long will it take to eliminate ISIS? So they told me 4 years to 4 years, nothing less. Then I phoned this commander, whatever his name is, and he told me 3 to 4 weeks. So I flew down, I think it was Iran or Iraq, he flew down to meet him. And he said, are you serious about this? Can you really do this in 3? He said, yes, why not? Even less than that. But he didn't want to be disrespectful to his leaders and all of that. So he said, maybe that's what they said, but I can give you affirmation of 3 to 4 weeks. And Trump says, and he claims, in 3 to 4 weeks, we eliminated ISIS. But this is what the Quran Sharif says. You're taking praise, you're taking this praises, you love praises for what? For things you didn't do. You started ISIS, so for you to eliminate it is not a big requirement. It's just cooked up victories for your own, just to lord yourself and pat yourself on the back. If you saw this whole Knesset, that is what the whole thing is. I mean, he said in his meeting yesterday, Trump said to the president of the rogue regime that you should forgive Netanyahu. I posted it on a few platforms where Trump said to Netanyahu, you are popular. You know why? Because you are a winner. You love to win. So this is called winning, where you kill so many people. And then I must put on record here on this particular program that he said, I'm going to Egypt now. I don't know if I'm going to make it. And the whole crowd starts laughing because, like, Egypt is just there to go make a mockery and show face, basically, and just to. But here, my allegiance is actually with you people. And that's what burns your insides, to say that you're going there and these people honor this person who doesn't even understand the eye of Istinja, and you're going to honor him, you're going to place red carpets for him, and yet he is the very same person who's killing our children. He's supplying the weapons. He's supplying the money for all of this. So it was just a way to get back credibility in the public. That's the way I saw it.
Well, in America, we have an expression that everyone loves a winner. So that's probably where Trump's statement came from. No matter how you did it, Bill Gates, he broke a lot of laws. Okay, the largest antitrust suit in American history was against Microsoft. John D. Rockefeller, he broke a lot of laws, but he's, you know, well known and respected, and the Rockefeller Foundation, etc. So Netanyahu, in a sense, is a winner in this world anyway, because before October 7th, he was about to be kicked out. Okay, how many times did they have snap elections because he couldn't form a government? He formed the government, it broke down. He formed the government, it broke down. They had another election, it broke down. They had another election, all right? And now they were going after him and his wife for all sort of illegal activities, and they wanted to arrest him. But then October 7th came, and so he got around that. So he's got like a two-year extension in being the president. And with Trump coming over there talking like this, even though his popularity in Israel had been dropping, and the parties, he has a coalition party, right, for government. Many of them, the right wing, they were ready to drop out. But this so-called victory in the war of Gaza has at least kept him going. So in that way, they look at him as a leader. Mm. Okay. The other point about that person talking about it would take 3 to 4 weeks to get rid of ISIS. That similar stuff was said about Taliban. Okay, when they first invaded Afghanistan, that there was only 10 or 20,000 Taliban in the whole country, and that America with their big army would eliminate them in 3 to 4 weeks. And they stayed there for 20 years and they lost. All right. America hasn't won a war in I don't know how long. Mm. Okay. They've invaded countries and bombed countries, but as far as a war, a real war, no, they haven't won a war in so long, since before I was born.
You've seen this, yeah. We've got 4 minutes left, Mufti Saab. I just want to rush through this quickly. The other point here is demilitarization and oversight. So this is also Hamas's resistance must disarm, and they expected to do this here. Inshallah, this doesn't happen, because if they do this, then it's just handing over. And this year also, we must consider that we do not have that trump card which we had, and that was the hostages. So we won't have this advantage anymore. Another plan here, I'm just rushing through to this particular point here. Political reforms, governance, and guess what? Interfaith dialogue. This forms part of Trump's 20 plan solution. Yeah, under this point here, it says, alongside governance and security measures, the Trump brokered plan proposes interfaith dialogue to foster reconciliation between the rogue regime and the Palestinians. Now, I want to pose this question to every parent here in South Africa, that you sending your children to these maktabs, and in these maktabs, which are run by the Jamiatul Ulama South Africa, who have put in your syllabus this interfaith, and they are brainwashing our kids in our country, and this year is under the name of Islam. And this is exactly fitting in with Trump's 20-point plan, interfaith dialogue. And your bums and the rest, they are all focusing on this year. And they're having all of this meetings and prayers together. This year is a burning point. Mufti Saab, you can just comment quickly on Pakistan and the rest of the world.
Yeah, well, we're into the same thing over here with the interfaith. Many of our, especially government leaders, they wish the Hindus are happy, what is it, Holi, whatever that holiday they have. Of course, they wish the Christians a Merry Christmas, okay, and like that. Yeah, but here we're Pakistani. We're not Muslim or Hindu or, you know, Christian. Over here is Pakistan. Pakistan's in the bottom. We have non-Muslims on the cricket team. You see, so yeah, interfaith is big over here. I was listening to you when you're talking about the governance. They have to change the way things are being governed. But how did Hamas come to power? Because Israel and America forced them to have an election, right? Mm. So they had a democratic election. No one said the election was rigged, and Hamas won. Mm. So now, what do you want? Do you want democracy or don't you? Mm. Come on now. You want democracy with those leaders who will follow you. Like the people in the West Bank, all right, the PLO, all right, they follow you, so that's okay. But that's a joke.
Yes.
That's a joke.
We're going to end now, but I'm just thinking about yesterday still. You know, every statement Trump said or Netanyahu said, there was a whole load of clapping of hands and statements praising one another. I think perhaps if we had that kind of crowd, we could also, you know, make the headlines like that. But inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu in the cave, La tahsan, inna Allah ma'ana. Do not grieve. Allah is with us. Our victories is not in screaming and dancing and all the rest. Our victories are silent and it takes time. It's gradual. But when it comes full force. Inshallah, we'll see the end of this. Mufti Sahib, Jazakumullah Khairan for joining us. Make dua for us as well. And we plead and urge the Ummah as well to make dua. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam.